Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up and be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is yours truly, Reverend Dockery, your host. And we're grateful to have you join us again this August 16th, 2018, for another episode. This is sponsored by Building Families and Communities Institute, which is a research arm for our nonprofit based in Nashville, Tennessee, Building Families and Communities Missions Incorporated. All right, if you just joined us, you know that we welcome you, not only those you who may be following us on live feed here with Facebook, but also those of you who are on, you can call us, 657-383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. Bring you right here in the studio to join our dialogue. As we customarily do, I will offer a brief monologue. And we'll get into our topic for tonight. We're grateful that you join us here. Hope to have Pastor Ricky Waller, our co-host, to join us. He's pretty busy himself any luck we'll have him join us. And our regular callers to give us a call tonight and be a part of what we're sharing this evening. It's a very sensitive topic that we're talking about tonight for many reasons. This week, in Bible study, dealing with it just the other day, as a matter of fact. So I hope that the completion of our conversation, our discussion, our dialogue this evening, that some clarity will be brought to the topic or the general idea that we are speaking to today. In a rather strange twist now, many people in America are frustrated with the actions and basic function of law enforcement. We see this as evidenced by protests against police and now ICE agencies and things of that nature. When in fact, the sole purpose of the law enforcement agency is to serve, protect, provide for the safety of society. Now, surely public servants should be held to full account for all that they do in the name of society. In reality, police are the community, and the community are the police. And I hope we will be able to make that plain tonight. So again, the number to call in to the studio here is 657-383-0944. With that, we go straight to our monologue. And what I'd like to do in the monologue is to offer a basic historical background on law enforcement in America. And I hope that you will come away with the understanding as to who they are, how they came about, and what their basic function and purpose is. Perhaps we will understand that if we erase that, the danger, the detriment we might do to the safety and security of us all as one society. All right? So the topic is how to hold law enforcement accountable in urban communities. Now, we focus on urban communities because we see how in certain voting precincts or precincts around America that are largely urban with large concentrations of certain ethnic groups of individuals, this is more prevalent than anywhere else. Need I draw reference to Chicago, to Detroit, to Baltimore, places like that, Cleveland, and I dare say even right here in Nashville, Tennessee, where I sit today. What I'm saying is that there is a significant concentration, and we can target that. Most importantly, the question is how do we hold law enforcement accountable? That's what we hope to gain from our conversation tonight. So let's get into it. Romans, the 13th chapter in the first verse, or a biblical perspective, says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, for context, what this is simply saying is, even in the government that you're in and those who are in a position of leadership, their authority is ordained by God. And hence you should show respect to that authority. In other words, the police and law enforcement, while sometimes there may be a negative rub, everything that they do is ordained by God, ultimately, or the government itself that's ordained by God. Okay? Now let's get into the history just very quickly, and then we will open up our phone lines and hopefully we'll be able to have some dialogue with you. More than 350 years ago, America's first system of law enforcement was established in Boston, Massachusetts. When the colonists had settled in around 1630, local ordinances had allowed for what was known as constables to be appointed. Soon after, in April around 1631, the townspeople formed a watch, quote-unquote, made up of six watchmen, one constable, and several volunteers who patrolled night, walking around in their neighborhood, in their community. These were ordinary citizens. Initially, they were run by a combination of volunteers and participants of that nature. However, the 17th century watch typically reported fires. There was some sort of thing like a fire that broke out. They maintained order, basically, in the streets where everyone shared public venues, raised noise and cries if there were some sort of crime or problem. When someone were to grieve another citizen, hey, that fellow, he did such and such, and they would bring everybody's attention to him, like the little boy that cried wolf, if you will, okay? And they would also be the ones that would go out and find these people who were accused of some sort of offense to society. Okay? Over time, we got the United States Constitution, which established due process. This preceded that. But nonetheless, there was a system of law enforcement as early as 1600. Constables had a similar task, which included maintaining health and sanitation. We have those departments now formally, right? in addition to bringing suspects to court between the people there. When time progressed, rural areas or sparsely populated areas of the colonies, the sheriff was an office. I'm from that word sheriff, English word sheriff. Sheriff was the main law enforcement figure. And they were appointed by whoever the elected governor was. Duties included serving legal documents such as writs or for appearing in court or collecting taxes, things of that nature. Now, in many cases, the sheriff was paid a salary with a fixed amount to perform these duties. So even though he was a citizen, he had special duties, and the governor appointed him to see to these things being carried out. Okay? And his pay was, I guess you can say, the skin in the game for representing the authority of the people through the government, the governor, and so forth and so on. Occasionally, these tasks became dangerous, though, because there was, in fact, like we see today, with law enforcement officials being killed. This is not, let's go way back to 1700. The first American peace officer to be killed in the line of duty was, he was in Columbia County, New York. He was a sheriff, Cornelius Humboldt. Shot October 22nd, 1791. You know what he was doing? He was simply trying to serve a writ, a legal document. But he lost his life in the service of his community, the people. The early policing system was modeled after the English structure. I'm talking about in the United States now, okay, which incorporated both watch and constables and sheriffs. And they derived this term from the British term, as I made reference to earlier, sheriff. In a community-based policing organization, though, so what was key about it is police did not operate on their own. They were not empowered by themselves. But their authority came strictly from the community, the people. And they were to look out for the people. So they understood that they didn't have any particular edge over them because they came from these people. They lived there, and they were part of that community. Now, over time, things happened, and this evolution came about where cities became greater, and populations became denser, more people, and so forth, immigration and things of that nature, and they brought new challenges, which required America and the colonies, which eventually became the United States of America, to adopt new systems of laws. As I mentioned earlier, we did not always have the Constitution, which provided due process of the law for everybody, such that a police officer or law enforcement official could not, or another citizen couldn't just claim you did something. The Sixth Amendment provides that you have a right to face your accuser and have a speedy trial. And before the police can stop you, they have to establish what's known as probable cause. So there were some checks and balances there. But I hope you can see that law enforcement itself has been around for, in fact, before America formally became a nation, but it goes back to the colonial period in America. But it was designed for people to look out for one another. We ask the question, how do you hold law enforcement officials accountable? Well, there you go, right there. I want to share with you, Bob Marley had a song out a few years ago, and he talked about how he was accused of killing the sheriff. The question, why would you kill the sheriff? Well, the sheriff did some things that were not right. And nobody was checking the sheriff and keeping the sheriff in order. He said, I didn't shoot the deputy, but I did shoot the sheriff. Listen to him just for a second. Talking from the topic, how to hold law enforcement accountable in urban communities. Pastor Waller has joined us. Welcome, sir. How are you today?
Oh, man, I'm good. Thank you. How you doing, Doctor?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. We're maintaining, sir. We're moving steadily. Paul said, I press toward tomorrow.
Yeah. You own it, brother. Definitely own it.
Yes, sir.
Right,
yeah. So, yes, Pastor, we have been talking from the topic how to hold law enforcement accountable in urban communities. The other night I was fortunate to be in a Bible study with some great people, and we had a very intense and involved conversation. And that's essentially what we were talking about. Some of the things nationally and the friction that people are having with law enforcement, police officers, and even nationally, there's this, some people are advancing the request or the drive to get rid of the ICE agency that deals with illegal immigration and things of that nature. What say you to that, Pastor?
Well, I think the number one thing that I speak about when it comes down to that particular issue is how to not have to fear them. You know, when you have fear, you understand what I'm saying? That's not a healthy thing to have to wonder what they're going to do. If they serve and protect, and this is what their assignment is, and to hold them accountable to that, it's like, say, if they are looked at as an individual, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Another person is a human being. And they're looked at that they have a job, like someone else might have a job.
Okay.
So what is the
okay.
difference? Because God is no respecter of a person. So if you disrespect me, then I suppose to respect you.
You see?
If you're an officer and you say, well, I'm going to disrespect you in spite of what you say or think, I can do this because I have the authority over you. But and they're not going to be held accountable for that, then you know, it makes those that are reasonable, those that are officers that actually are very humble, because there may be some, I don't know. I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm just saying from what I'm hearing, with how to hold them accountable. And I think the number one thing is not to have to fear them when they're supposed to be there to serve and protect. And that's a tough job for them, I'm sure. But you know, they practice what they do. They become experts at what they do. You know what I mean? If it ain't nothing but training a dog, you know what to say to the dog, know how to talk to the dog, know what the dog is going to
right.
do once they do certain
right.
things to them. And it's just a thing where if that's the case, then they are intelligent enough to know when they're doing wrong. But
right.
If they're going to wrong someone, you understand, and strip them from their rights, that has to do with a lot of fear. So that's where I'm at. If you learn to respect the people, and it's a tough job, I'm sure, as I said, you know, but you cannot misuse your authority.
That's right.
And once you learn how to do that, you know, based on the evidence, sometimes it takes place, and maybe they may fear a certain ethnic group of people. I really don't think it's fair to the people as a whole. You know. And then one more thing, and I'm going to say this. If a person is licensed to carry, you understand, and then they hear about something in particular, like a person being good down of color, and they realize that, man, he said, man, I'm afraid myself. I got a license to carry, and I'm afraid of them. That right there, man, is a sad thing. You know, this man, I heard one say that. Say, man, I'm scared even to have my weapon. I don't know what they're going to do to me, and I have a license to carry. I'm like, wow, that's pretty deep there. That's fear, man. That's fear.
Let me reiterate the point that I made in my monologue, and that is the authority of law enforcement comes from the people. And historically, first law enforcement in America dates back to 1600s, people who were looking out for one another. Somehow we've evolved to this point, though, where, and let me be very clear, I'm conscious of the fact that particularly for African Americans in the South during the Jim Crow era, that the law was structured in such a way that people that were law enforcement agents were able to get away with a lot of very bad and terrible things, hence the Civil Rights Act of 1965. In that it's a color law clause that makes it totally illegal for anyone that is a government official to utilize the authority to harm or cheat or defraud a citizen. Okay, so I want to make sure I'm clear that I understand that. Having said that, though, the truth of the matter is there are a lot of people in different professions, nurses and doctors and teachers and preachers, who misrepresent, you know, their field and their profession. And unfortunately, there are bad apples in law enforcement as well. And it certainly brings a negative light on those people who put on a uniform and to place their life in harm's way in the interest of their community. And that's a difficult challenge. I like what you were saying, Pastor, that if someone is misusing that authority, they're definitely a danger to everybody. For sure. Looks like we got our good friend Outcast on with us tonight. How you doing, brother?
Oh, good.
We're talking tonight, Outcast, from the topic how to hold law enforcement accountable. And I tried to make the case that the way you hold law enforcement accountable is that the people have to be in order first. And when the people are in order, then you can shine light on anyone that's supposed to represent the interests of those people when they're out of order. Does that make sense, Outcast? Question to comment on that?
Well, I've been stating that all the time, even when it comes to the violence in our race, you know. But if you, if we as a people are out of control, I mean, what do you expect?
Right. Yeah. And so it's important. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I apologize.
Well, I don't know exactly, you know, what you're alluding to, but I understand what you're saying. But here in the city of Nashville, they took up signatures to have a community oversight board. And we got a price tag of $1.5 million. Going to have 11 million members, which no one in law enforcement or whatever can be a part of that board. But, you know, what's going to make up that board? I listened and they stated that one of the qualifications would be someone that knows the penalty institution well. No one knows the penal institution no better than the one that have been there 24/7, you know. What are they saying on that? You know, even though correctional officers are there for only four shifts, 8 hours, sometimes 10, whatever, but they're not there 24/7. So, you know,
but,
I agree.
You know, I'll get. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think it's important to understand what is the duty of. We talked about this in the previous show. What is the duty of the police? But those who are charged with making sure that there's law and order that's followed by everybody, right?
Right.
And if you and I are doing that, we're obedient to the law, we're following it, they really have no need to address us, right?
I agree.
We don't have a problem. I say that to say that for a while, that the reality is, unfortunately, in too many cases, the police are called to address issues of illegal behavior and incidents and things of that nature to try to bring some justice there. And when that happens, should we be upset with the police for doing their job, or should they not respond if you call them for instance because of something that's going on with you?
And you say that should they not respond?
Right.
Okay, so you say that for me again.
All right,
because,
go ahead.
Yeah, no, you were saying something about a response. You know, I wanted to kind of share.
Okay, let me restate it quickly. So the purpose of the police is to maintain law and order in society, in the community, right? And when a citizen calls them because a breach of law and order, should the police not come? And let's talk about urban communities now. Should they not come to urban communities because some people are afraid of them or think that they are wrong? Should they not respond when you or I call them for a legitimate reason?
And that's the thing, when they are calling. That's the thing, when they are calling. And that's one of the most important things about a response. How do you respond when the call is made?
Okay.
I would say, yes, they should come.
Okay. Now, when they come, Outcast, who are they looking for?
Well, the perpetrator of a crime or whatever, you know.
The offense, right? And
right.
If that perpetrator lives there, Outcast, and when the police ask, where is Dockery? We know he done robbed somebody. Where he at? And then you say, Outcast, I ain't seen him. I don't know. How did the police come? How did the police get me?
Well, hollering a fugitive.
I mean, you follow where I'm going, guys? Yeah.
Pardon me?
But do you see the difficulty there in bringing justice when you have a community that basically harbors or protects wrong until it hits their front door, and then they want justice? I got Don
exactly.
On the line from Selma, Alabama. How you doing, Brother Don?
I'm doing great, Mr. Dockery. I got off the shuttle bus coming towards Selma, and guess what I saw?
What's that?
Two brothers in the middle of Highway 80 fighting.
What?
Yes, sir.
Fight, man? Wow.
I still can't figure. And then, Mr. Dockery, you get to Birmingham coming this way, and guess what?
There's no development. Okay.
You come
okay.
from Birmingham coming back up, it's development.
Well, that's a local issue, too, where you are in terms of the lack of development. But now we're talking about how to hold law enforcement accountable in urban communities. And I think Outcast will make a great point that when there's a case where, well, maybe he wasn't saying it, I was saying it, and that's a while now we're kind of talking about this. When there's a case where we know that an offense has been committed, police are coming to do their job to bring justice, and nobody wants to work with the police. Don't that make it hard for them, Pastor Wallace?
I'll say it like this.
Can you talk in your phone a little closer? We can hardly hear you.
When you have a job, and it's your job, whatever your job assignment is, that's what your job assignment is. It's nobody else's. You know, and that's the thing that being a humble individual, the law was given but never obeyed. I understand that. Once a person join in on the force, and sometimes they get the person, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they work out. But to serve and protect, I go back to that. So it's not my job to tell you who done nothing if you're the police officer. That's not my job. Just like me ministering, you know, my job is to minister. It's not to go to tell the police to tell me how I should minister. Or should I do certain things? Or should I, if somebody comes to church and they're doing, they've done something, should I accept them in the church? You know, that's not their job to tell me that. So I'm not going to say, well, hey, officer, come on over here to the church. But here goes somebody that just got through armed robbing, or just got through stealing, or just got through doing whatever it is. I'm speculating now, is what I'm saying. I don't really know. I didn't see him do it. But I heard that. So do I call the police and tell them to come to the church and get them? I mean, no, I don't do that. That's not what I'm – and especially after me knowing that what caused this person to steal, what caused this person to do some robbery, and then they come into a place to try to get some help, a church, you know, a place where I'm using myself as an example. I went up into the church doing everything up under the sun. You understand? Should they have sent them up there to arrest me? I'm in there crying for help. Do they know to do that?
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of how you take that, and I don't take that lightly about bringing more harm, you know, to a situation when how did this person get caught up into whatever they're doing anyway? I'd like to get to the core of the problem, and then we can police our own community. You know, we don't have to have the police come out here to do certain things no more. If we need you, we'll call you. If we need you, we'll call you. You understand? If we don't call you, don't come out and mess with nobody to try to start nothing. Now, that's the difference. That's when you're holding them accountable, because they're doing things to start something. That's one thing. But if that they're on the call, they're supposed to come, because that's what they just got a call. So it's a tough job for them. Tough job.
Well, now you know, Pastor, one of the reasons, I got a question for Donna in a second. One of the reasons our system of law enforcement has evolved the way it is today, it's because of why it hurt in the wild, in the West, right? Out West.
Mm-hmm.
And he came in and realized that Dodge City, a.k.a., was out of control. Everybody had guns, and everybody was shooting and killing one another. So he came up with a rule that you have to check your guns in, right? And only the sheriff or only the deputy can carry guns. Some people didn't like that. You know, but in the interest of public safety, reasonable measures were made to keep everybody safe. And Outcast, there's a big question about the gun, you know, and the Second Amendment and what have you, and limiting who can have a gun and what kind of gun you can have. Those are some of the conversations that we hear. And I get that. I tend to reserve comment on that because, as Pastor Wilder is saying, often what we see is that there are certain situations or circumstances that don't fit all. It's not a one-size-fits-all. We know that the Second Amendment guarantees every citizen the right to bear and carry arms, right? But unfortunately, you got people, outcasts, who are trained military people, and they lose their mind, and with a gun in their hand, that's catastrophic. You know what I mean?
So, I agree 100%. You know, I mean, if everyone has the right to bear arms, criminals. I mean, your amendment right to bear arms, they should be able to come back and amend something and say, well, convicted felons can't have guns. You know what I'm saying? Going back to the cowboy days now, when they got out of prison, then they give them their bullet and guns. You know? Then they have armed robbers and goes right, back right, during that period of time and gangs and shit,
right,
too,
right,
stuff like that.
Right. Right.
You know?
Right.
But see,
but
this is what's wrong with us. Oh, that does.
There's one distinction with a felon, though. Now, you, if you don't like it, you have to change the law. But where federal law works, as I understand, I'm not an attorney, let me make that clear. But at my understanding of federal law is when you have a felony conviction, then you lose that right. You understand what I'm saying? Until such time as you serve your indebtedness to society and you've had that charge expunged and so forth and so on. So even the right to vote applies there as well. And it affects people's ability to work and so forth. So, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I look at it. Like they say, taxation without representation. I look at it like that. You know, I
okay.
mean, you know, taxation without representation. You know, I mean, when I all board, I mean, it really doesn't. When I look at the gun issue, a convict saying that nature, you know, that really doesn't bother me. You know, I mean, it doesn't bother
right.
me at all. You know,
okay.
because I wasn't born with a gun and, you know, things in that nature. But just what's wrong with society now, trying to get so politically correct until, you know, they begin to destroy the very essence of something. You know, they want to come up with their solution. They always have a solution for something, but at the end of the day, the solutions are not working. You know?
We lost Pastor Wallace some kind of way. I'm not sure what happened there, but hopefully he'll call him back.
Taxation without representation.
Without representation.
Now, at the end of the day, convictors or whatever, you know, they still going to pay them tax. All that's for the road. Driver, you got to ride down the road.
What?
Still, taxation without representation.
Well, let me challenge you that for a second, okay? If you had to propose legislation, how will you balance the fact that the felon committed some offense towards society? How do you balance that in that legislation in terms of providing them more rights or opportunities?
Well, I mean, you know, like the thing is this. They are now passing laws saying that. Let me show you how this law works. See?
Okay.
I kind of figured this out a long time ago. It's easy for them to jump on a convicted felon concerning something. Here, we're going to get them first again. We're going to ease on back in there, you know, and take, you know, the people that don't have felons. And they're going to pay laws on them. Now, look at what's going on now. If you got a mental issue, they won't say you're a gun now. But now go back to the convict now. See, people have to be very careful. You know, they don't see what's really happening. They're going to figure out a way to take away that so-called First Amendment right, the right to bear arms.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? They're always figuring out a way. But first, it's always easier for them to come back and get the convict first. And then they just ease it in. You know, you got a felon, you can't own a firearm. You got a military. Now, look at all these military men that have been in the military. You know, now it's hard for them to get guns. You know, but, you know, like I say, you know, at the end of the day, what it is, you know, people... They're blinded by a whole lot of things, you know. But
that's true.
What it is. I call it taxation without representation.
You make a good point, sir, and that is these nuances and these hotbed issues really distract you from what's really important, you know what I mean? And Pastor Waller raised the question, what is it that calls these individuals to engage in criminal activity? Now, does that justify it, though, Pastor? Whatever causes are, does that justify the wrong being done?
No, it don't justify it. It's more of it. It's like, you know, if they're law
enforcement... Can you speak in your phone a little closer?
Yeah,
voice is a little muffled. Okay.
get when the people who is the police officers who are on the beat and they are all of a sudden having a call being made and they come to respond according to the call. And then they may not have all the answers at that time, but then they think that they need a hand from somebody else to help them do their job. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the question was asked, as you just said earlier, the criminals, do they have a right to say what caused us to do what we're doing? Do that justify, you know, no, I would say no, it don't justify, but it does give a leeway to saying what is causing this. Should we even acknowledge that it's something causing, because if the police officers already know that this is the area in which this is going on, that's causing this call to be made, that means they already with the intent of knowing when they go to their job on that day, they know that they've got a trained force to come and to, they call them task force. Just use that for an example. A drug task force, you know, some they use that for an example. This nickname, every little thing that they got down there in the system is a nickname for it. You know what I mean? And then you get out there and you catch somebody, and all of a sudden, well, this don't fit what you came out here for, but let's just charge this with simple possession, you know, or something like that. I mean, it's amazing, man. So there's so much to go on with that. So what's causing it to be a simple possession? Why is it named that? Where they got, you go downtown, they got a name for it, man. You know, a possession of a controlled substance. You know, why they come out here looking for that kind of stuff? Yes, sir.
Professor, I break into Don's house. I break into Don's house while he's sleeping. And I steal all his cookies and all the milk out of the refrigerator. And Don, should Don execute justice on me, or should he call the police? Now,
well,
I'm hungry. That's the reason I did it. Hey, I'm hungry, Pastor. That's the reason I did it. I just love cookies and milk.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
So should Don take care of me, or should the police take care of me?
It's going on the decision that he's making, Jeff. That's breaking in your house. I think if someone broke in the house, and if they decide to take care of it on them all, on their own, it'll be justified. You know, somebody broke into the house.
Okay.
If I didn't want to call the police,
like,
you understand? Yeah, that's up to them. You know,
okay.
It's up to them. They have to make a decision. Should I call the police or should I take care of myself?
Interesting.
Kind of like that.
Don, what do you think about that, man? Should you whip my tail or should you let the police deal with me?
You know, y'all, you hitting some very deep topics, Mr. Dockery. I was sitting here thinking, so I just left Nashville, and it was a shock to me. Y'all don't know how much that's a shock to me. And it's a hurting shock.
Okay.
You know, I was born there, and I seen I see the development going there. And it's like it's a smack in my face. And then I come down here. Listen to this, Mr. Dockery. I didn't know this until after my dad died. But guess what? On my dad's side, I'm from this county. And it's economically not moving. But on my mama's side, it's booming. And both of them are Democratic congressmen. Why is that? You talking about stealing now. And see, I ain't too pleased with Cooper now.
Okay.
See, y'all can smile. I ain't going to smile with him no more.
No. Well, that's enough.
He done broke in my house. We done broke in my house.
Okay.
See what I'm saying? And, Mr. Docker, I'm going to say this to you, too. You know, Aretha died, right?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Well,
sweetheart,
listen to this. Aretha's dad came to the Poor People's Campaign, and he said, don't bow to the king.
Okay. That was C.L. Franklin, Reverend C.L. Franklin out of Detroit. That's what we talking about. Okay.
And now we bowing to the king? Because to me, they breaking in the house.
Well, now, hold on. Now, use my scenario. Let's stick with my scenario, Don. I broke in your house. Pastor Wallace said there are reasons why people do things that are illegal. I broke in your house because I just love cookies and milk, and I was too broke to get my own. And I knew you had some. And not only did I steal your cookies, but I got the milk too, man. Now, does that make it right? Done?
Huh?
I mean,
to me, it don't make it right. That they do it.
Okay, okay.
I don't know what the popo doing today. What is they doing?
Well, that's what we're talking about,
Don. What is the federal government doing?
I'll tell you what.
Go ahead, Outcast. Go ahead, Outcast.
I'll tell you what. In today's society, you know, you got a catch-22 on that. True, you can kill somebody in your house, but they'll turn around and say that you did an overkill or the person was running out the back door when you shot him in the back. Oh, he wasn't no threat.
Yeah.
And instead, he's broke in your house.
What?
He could be in your house. You come out your bedroom with a gun, and he's running with your back to him. You shoot him. Oh, no.
Now, hey, you know who you blame for that, don't you, Outcast? You blame the state legislature for the laws that they have and your codes annotated for that state. That's who's responsible for that now. Yeah, that's how they define that. That's how they define it. But now let me ask you this. Let me ask y'all this. And I got Pastor Waller on the line. Don, I'm going to throw this question at you, Don, but I want Pastor Waller to hold back in the wings on it. Because I think this is something that a lot of people make the case, I don't have to follow the law because it is wicked and unjust. And it's made by man, right? But watch this. Pastor Wallace, Don, Romans 13:1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher power. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Help me explain that. It's not as good as I'm 3 years old, Don.
Well,
You want to throw that to Pastor Waller?
The way I look at it, Mr. Dockery, you know, the Lord going to take care of it anyway. That's the way I look
at it. Wait a minute, I didn't stole your cookies, though, man. And the Lord didn't stop me from stealing your cookies.
But the way I look at it, you're going to reap what you stole. So if you stole my cookies.
I see. Okay. All right. Okay. Pastor Waller, help me with that, man.
Yeah, well, if that's the case, that the police officers that's doing what they're doing should be able to say the same thing because they have been ordained by God and say, well, God's going to take care of it anyway. So I'm not going to even do anything about it. You know, and then Outkast just made it known, you know, he used a good example about you, you know, when the guy came in, bringing the house, and he's running from you, you understand?
Right.
And then you still handling your business, and now you going to be questions, charged, and making it seem like you've done something wrong and things like that. So it's almost like the catch-22 is that should I shoot him or he broke in my house, he might come and do it again. It makes sense. So I'm getting him now.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I don't do nothing because he's running out, you understand? And so this is just one of those things. And then you utilize holding the police officers, the system, you know what I mean? I think that's what we were talking about. Accountable, correct? So
yes,
if they gun somebody down that's running from you, if they gun somebody down that's running from you, should they be held accountable? I mean,
yes, they should.
I think if Outkast is saying that it's a possibility in that catch-22 that this person that came into the house, was broke in, but yesterday he was running away, and this is your house, you fired on him, and all of a sudden, it's a little different now. You know, you get charged because it was running from you. Oh, man, that sounds like to me. That's hypocritical for the Lord to be able to ordain you to make a decision like that, man, person running from you. You ordained the government. You know, you're ordained by God. Okay, that's what we're talking about, man. God ordained you to make decisions based on that. Then it's going to be all right. But the misuse of authority goes back to the misuse of authority in any area of government. You understand?
So
it should be held accountable.
Pastor, you raised a great issue. And I want to reference, and Outcast, interestingly enough, this is where we are today with this young man that was shot just a couple of weeks ago. The Tennessee versus Garner. Now, let me say again, I'm not an attorney. I'm just a well-informed citizen. That's all. It was a case in 1985. And basically what happened was the Supreme Court ruled that the Fourth Amendment, when a law enforcement officer is pursuing a fleeing suspect, Outcast, the officer may not use deadly force to prevent escape unless the officer has probable cause to believe that the suspect poses a significant threat of death or serious injury to others or other officers. Now, take that to your scenario, Calcad, where you talked about, I broke in your house and I'm running. Do you think that Supreme Court, that this case, Tennessee versus Ghana, now this is relevant to law enforcement officials, though, but do you think the same concept of the law would hold up under that Supreme Court precedent?
That's a good question, but, you know, the thing is I'm just going to come straight forward. First off,
talk straight.
If I'm breaking the law, if I'm indulging in criminal activities, the least thing that I want to get caught with or start with is a gun, period. Yeah, now, if I feel I'm going to run, I'm going to run. But I'm going to make doggone sure that you see that I don't have nothing, but there are different circumstances. If you're convicted, if you escape convict and you run it, they're going to shoot you before you get to a tree line. They're going to shoot you before you get to the woods. You don't have to have nothing in your hand.
I know you're right
about
that.
It's just survival because, again, going back to what you just stated, you're a threat.
Right.
You know, they can kill you. You know, and you don't have to have nothing, you know, because you are in escape country. Run if you want. They're going to shoot you. They're going to kill you.
Right.
You know?
I'm going to tell you how I know you're right. I was a correction officer a few years back in the 90s, and that's what they trained us. All we had to do was say, stop. This is the Tennessee Department of Correction. Stop or I'll shoot.
That's it.
And if you didn't shoot, you got them buckshot.
Yes, sir. You know, now, you know, I hate the fact that anyone can get killed in a situation.
Yeah.
Even, you
now
know,
that's
what's
the
going
sad
on
part.
In Nashville, you know. But
right.
The thing is,
right.
It is, man, look, leave them guns alone. If you got them in the vehicle, with them in the vehicle. If you're going to run, then you run. If you're running and you don't have anything, you get shot in the back. This is when outrage can come. This is when your protest can come, but protest in the right nature. You know, take it to the to your representatives and things in that nature.
That's right.
Know?
Go ahead. Finish your thought. I'm sorry.
No, you're hitting on a good point.
Please don't lose your thought. I will say this. I do applaud the people for organizing themselves and trying to go through the legislative process. I give them 100% credit for that. I just wonder, though, if they got the right focus. You know what I mean?
No.
I
can say a question. Yeah. I'm sorry, William.
No. Go ahead.
But anyway, I got two nephews, you know. You know, they on the wrong. You know, they do things outside of law and things. And but guess what? They was riding around with a pistol in the car. Got pulled over. Guess what?
Okay.
They didn't even attempt to jump out of the car, run with the pistol or whatever. You know, the officer came, you know, and whatever, you know. And they found a pistol in the car. Pistol was there. They locked both of them up. You know, they ended up beating the case, but... The thing is, police officers will kill you. You see that they gun them down running with nothing in their hand, so you know what they're going to do when you have something in your hand.
Right.
But there are exceptions to the rules, you know. There are exceptions to the rules. But anyway, you go ahead. I don't want to get too bold.
All right, here's what's missing, gentlemen. Here's what's missing. When do we, this is what I shared in Bible study the other night. Elohim, God the Father, creation, established it that a father is the first and primary voice of authority in a child's life, male or female. And if that is absent, when do they get the instruction on how to properly govern themselves in society? I think that's the biggest issue now. I feel people's pain. Yes, nobody wants to lose a loved one. That's absolutely right. But the question is, how do we prevent that further loss by teaching how to change or modify the behavior that leads to the loss? Am I wrong on that, Pastor Wallace?
Well, no, not necessarily seeing the wrong in it. What I'm liking about the whole concept of what we're talking about now is being able to hold one accountable. I'm still thinking about how can one escape being held accountable when you don't have to hunt for it or try to find out whether this took place or not. It'd be different if you have to take and say, okay, there is a procedure, I remember saying, if you go through, you know, to get to, even if you see red-handed that they were wrong and that they actually should be held accountable right now. You shouldn't have to wait and give privilege to be able to still do certain things that they are able to do, which means they're not being held accountable when that takes place. So right there and right there, it's a tough job back to that. But somebody has to do it. And then when you're out here in the world, like ignorant and unlearned like myself, I'm going to use one example, the best example I can. When I was out in the world doing my thing, I didn't have no knowledge, and this is an ignorant thing here out there, some people have to say about myself.
Okay.
I had no idea, because I was so caught up and captured and bent over in that position of Lord most of my life. I didn't have no knowledge about they were to serve and protect. I just had one thing on my mind concerning them. They out to get me.
Okay.
You know? So if serve and protect would have been on the agenda, maybe if I had even known that, and man, that is to serve and protect. I think they got it marked on the police car somewhere, I think. I don't know how they put it. Something, you know, of saying to kind of remind you. Is that correct? You know, something that they got branded on their cars or something. I don't know if it's that to say we hear the service protect, not like that, but it's something about this is something that should be in the minds of the people out in the world that's what they are. So you don't have to say the word. You should just believe that that's what it is. But how are you going to put fear in there with serve and protect? I mean, I'm around here scaring the police officers. They're supposed to be here to serve and protect. And then when they don't serve and protect and do things misusing the authority, are they to be held accountable? It's right there. Because when they're taking care of their business and serving and protecting and coming to a call when they're called upon and responding to it in such a way, they're doing their job. But when you have them, and you say some, not all, but some are misusing their authority.
I see.
Those that are misusing their authority are not being held accountable. Why is it that way? Why are they not being held accountable? Is it because of the procedures they have to go through? When you know you got it right here, red-handed, that they have done something that they need to be held accountable for. So, you know, I don't know. I just wonder how that really goes. Is it always that you have to wait so long to find out what you have to do about this situation when you've got the information right before you? Or is it just a piece of that book? I really don't know.
Okay.
Wonder about that.
So, we're about at the top of the hour. This is your listener, Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. and co-host, Pastor Ricky Wallace. Good friend out of Nashville, Tennessee. Brother Outcast is with us, and Brother Don Double L out of Selma, Alabama. Appreciate y'all listening. You give us a call if you want to join the dialogue, 657-383-0944. Facebook friends, if you want to post your question or comments, feel free to do so or share it here live on there. Now,
and that's
the
red
handed. I'm sorry, say that again.
Yeah, that's if they're called red-handed. That's what I mean. When I say red-handed, I mean, you know, like the woman who was caught in the very act. You know what I mean? And use that for an example. It's called an Avere Act. We know that it was wrong. It's not right. The whole world knows it. The police force know it. The chief know it. Everybody knows. But they still have to go through the same procedures, even though they know that it's wrong. What do you do? I mean, how do you put being held accountable if they don't be held accountable at that time when it happens?
Well, let me say this. I think the best way to hold law enforcement officials accountable is for us to be in order first, okay? Now, if it were the case that they were breaking into people's houses without probable cause and they were snatching young people up and they were shooting and killing them, absolutely. The Second Amendment allows you to form a militia against the government that allows such a things to happen, right? I'm not promoting that. I'm not suggesting that. But I am saying that when you look at the incident and the reports that are submitted by the police departments to the Federal Bureau of Investigation, what we find is that these are things or offenses that are committed, that are documented in the public venue, in the public sphere. How do we teach our babies to be policing themselves? I think you said that earlier, Pastor Waller. And the community police them so that there's no need for the police to come and police. Am I making any sense?
I'm great. Oh, yes. A lot of sense.
I mean, wouldn't that reduce the incident of the police having to respond to those things outcast? I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Yes, a great deal.
But see, this is the problem, you know, which I did make a statement concerning a lot of things that were going on. It wasn't my children out here in the streets acting a doggone fool. It was someone else's children. And it starts in the home, you know.
Right.
And we always talk about that. You know, now I will listen to a little dialogue concerning that community oversight board, you know, with his, whatever he was, attorney or whatever. You know, like you said, he done been on both sides of the fence. But now, here's a white man. He stated children better. Teach them to, going back to what you're saying, to respect the law. Do what the law asks you. You know?
Right.
And when he stated that, you know, the black female, she flinched, you know, the one that was collecting signatures at the polls and things of that nature. No, it hit home. You mean to tell me that a white man, I'm not saying this to be racist or anything in that nature,
okay,
but it took a white man to set up and tell you about the behavior of children, that people that are doing these things. They were not better trained at home. Going back to what you just stated, they were not better trained at home. Now, like I stated, I'm keeping it 100. I'm coming straight across the board with it right there on Jefferson Street. About a year and a half ago, white guy, he had did a home invasion in another county and took the old guy's cell phone, and they, you know, tracked the cell phone down to Jefferson Street where the white guy was. The white guy had a pistol. Guess what? Police shot and killed him. You know what the white guy's family stated? That he just not get away from that criminal activity. But
I remember that case.
When it comes to us black people, oh, it's a white man that killed another nigga. Come on, man. You know? I mean,
so is it driven from emotions, outcast, or is it driven from reason and understanding?
Exactly. You know, that hatred, you know, it's well embedded in a lot of people. It's well embedded.
Okay.
Unfortunately, you know, I'm past that. You know what I'm saying? I look at it, I take a lower thought stating that what it is what it is. If I'm doing right, I'm doing right. If I'm doing wrong, doing wrong. Sometimes I don't have to be doing wrong to get caught up in a situation. But the thing is this, you know, it took a white man to tell us something like that. She French, you know what I'm saying? I mean, like, it shocked her. No, that shouldn't come as a shock to you. They've been telling you over and over about your children. Even black people have been telling you about your children, how you raise them or rearing them. I'm going to say how you're raising them. You know what I'm saying? But when you're in that antisocial behavior, hey, you got to take come what may. You're a bank robber. You know when you go up in that bank, there's a chance that you're going to get away with the money, and there's a chance you might die.
That's true.
Come on.
Right, right.
You know?
True.
I mean, yeah, you know, you got some good officers, you got bad officers. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going back to what Reverend Waters said. The ones that are wrong, they don't need to be dealt with tomorrow. They need to be dealt with right then and there. It don't take a rocket scientist to see through a whole lot of things, but you do have the process of law.
That's true. I mean, and guess what? Guess what? They have procedures to identify and isolate and eradicate those bad apples from the force. I would be the first one to advocate for doing so. You know what I mean? It's kind of interesting to me, Outcast, that in the public schools you got teachers, some, that really don't care too much if children learn, as long as they get paid. If you ask me, those people need to go. They need to
go. I agree.
You know, they need a job, but they need to go get them another job that they care about.
Right. Okay.
This was a good conversation, but at the end of the day, you know, a lot of stuff is fueled by emotions and, you know, just hatred. You know, I mean, come on, you know, I mean, you know, like I said, I come across the board with it. You know, how can I say they only kill black? No, they kill white. You know what I'm saying? They beat white. You know, they do a whole lot of things. You know, I hate that anybody lose their lives. You know,
right,
over something petty.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But you endured in that activity, you know, it could go either way. You know, I mean, even myself, you know, when I was on the skate, you know, I mean, they could have killed me, but they just chose to surround me. I'm in the car, riding, and all of a sudden, hey, look, cars came from north, south, east, and west.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't kill me. Yeah. Hey, I know what you want. I'm not been around, but hold on. Yeah, I'm ready to go back anyway. If I wasn't ready to go back, I wouldn't have been left Houston, Texas, and came back down to Memphis anyway. You know, but I mean, at the end of the day, people, you know, they view about whatever. You know, they look at certain things hit the news, the blacks or whatever. Now, what about them whites that been killing? You know what I'm saying? All of them northern, every dog gone well. You know what I'm saying? They've been gunning them down, and they had guns in their hands. There was something happening concerning the feds up there. Thank God, I'm fine. You know, but they justified. Rubber doctors, you have people that have been feeling killed. It was a little black female, Ben Lee. She came at the police officer who had a hatchet in her hand.
They told her to drop it.
She wouldn't drop it. What did they do, Reverend Doctor?
She got killed.
You don't have to come at them. All you have to do is have it. You know, some people get lucky, you know, depending on the officer. You know, they get shot in the arm or whatever, you know. But a lot of officers, you know what I'm saying? No, they don't go on and just kill you.
Well,
it's bad enough to kill you when you don't have nothing.
You make a good point. Here's the thing. And it's consistent with the Tennessee versus Garner case. The real question is, what is the threat level that the police officer is facing, right? They're not trained to say, oh, I'm going to just do this way, I'm going to do that way. No, they're trained to eliminate the threat. That's why they give you a verbal command first. And when you fail to follow the verbal command, you begin to escalate the threat level. So just imagine what happens when you get out of a car and they done touch when you're disobeying their command, you get out of the car, you take off and run, or you come towards them. That's the elevation of the threat. Now, here's the problem. I don't think enough teaching is being done, gentlemen.
I agree.
Yeah. And if pastors, preachers want to involve themselves and make a difference, seems to me we ought to open the church 2 days a week and do some focused teaching and counseling around this. What about that, Don? Don, you there?
See, first off, me, I don't
put myself, I try not to put myself in a position to where the police officers will be a threat towards me, even at night, you know, which I've gotten pulled over at night. I've cut my engine off, my motor off, and I've turned my dome light on and placed my hands on the stern wheel. See,
okay.
Now, you know I'm no sprint. See,
right.
I don't have to run from you because I have a driver license and everything else that is appropriate for me to operate a vehicle, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if I got an old container in the car, whatever, you know, if I don't try to hide it before I turn that dome light on, oh, well, you're going to smell my breath anyway. You got me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
That's true.
You know, but, you know, keeping the threat down. And as we know,
yes.
by going back to Rebel Molly, you got a lot of low-down officers in the doggone way.
Yeah.
You know, they,
that exists.
You know, they going to do what they do, you know.
Yeah, that exists. Gentlemen, I'm sorry. Who was that talking?
Yeah, that was me. Just what I can't just say it. I think more of the story is about how to hold the officers accountable. That's the system.
Right.
You know, you're holding them accountable. Okay, now that's for wrongdoing, for misusing
yes,
authority.
Right.
Okay, for instance, that means that, you know, just to go pick on somebody, start something on purpose. You see, and that's what he was talking about when out there and some of the officers low down ones that would do that. But that's not to say all of them are that way. But you got to,
right.
So the ones that's being held accountable is not those ones that's doing what's right. You know, it's the one that's misusing the authority. And do we
right.
wait later on to hold them accountable, or do you on the spot, when you know that you got evidence that they've done this, for whatever the reason is, and it wasn't right, you know, so it's a tough situation, man. You know, it's enough.
Well,
you know,
right.
Let me say this.
Okay.
Your question is well founded. So watch this. In the case of an officer-involved shooting, the procedure, as I understand, is Tennessee Bureau of Investigation automatically kicks in, right? That officer is pulled out of commission on the street. They're not necessarily fired, but they're pulled out of commission on the street until it can be determined if their actions were justified, lawful, and so forth and so on, according to procedure
right.
and policy. And then there is due process even there, right? Even the
yes.
most police force have their own internal process for doing determining. Here's the question, though, Patrick. How many average day citizens know what appropriate police procedure is to determine if they're wrong or right?
Exactly. Ignorant like me. Ignorant don't know this, but how do they know? I mean, that's no. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah, that's a good question.
Saying.
I love it.
So,
I
can just say, I didn't like the way you treated me. You were wrong. You understand what I'm saying? But that don't necessarily mean
yeah.
that the police officer was not following his training and proper policy.
Well, that's the thing, and that's what I'm saying about with the intent to do wrong, not following nothing that once they stop a person, we're not talking about that. We're talking about being held accountable for wrongdoing with the intent to do wrong. It didn't have nothing to do with
right.
them stopping and with the procedures. You understand?
Okay.
And so that's
okay.
what I believe being held accountable really actually stands for when it comes down to them doing something that with the intent. Premeditation.
Yeah.
You understand? With intent. This is what I'm getting ready to do. I don't have nothing to do right now. I'm getting ready to do this. If they got that in their mind and decide to carry that out, how do you know that they're wrong? That's the question. You know, the person is ignorant, unlearned, and don't know no better. You know, you just know, hey, you just stop me. I didn't do nothing. I mean, as far as I go, you know. But other than that, you ain't got nothing else to say. That you can say. Lawmakers breaking the law. That's what they would be like.
Yeah.
You know, so how do you hold them accountable? And how do you know when you don't know? Yes, sir.
So, Pastor, that's how we hold. That's how the average day citizen hold law enforcement accountable is being, I'm not saying you have to be an expert, but being reasonably aware of what your civic expectations are. Shouldn't we teach that to our children at home? That's what OutKast is saying.
Yeah,
right.
Shouldn't
nice
they grow up learning that?
That would be nice if they knew how to teach it. That would be nice. You know what I mean? That would be appropriate versus just telling you something. So when you go out, make sure you get stopped, you do this and do that. I mean, okay, that's not teaching. That's just telling you something. You know, if you know that this is appropriate, how to go about it, that's one thing. But when you don't know, and as I said, if you're ignorant and unlearned, just like I myself, you know, I'm using for an example, and don't know no better, all you know is that I got stopped. And they are right and I'm wrong. You know what I mean? I'm already putting it in. It's just like, you're right and I'm wrong. I'm already accepting that because you stopped me. I don't think you stopped me for nothing. So I'm going to just say that I'm wrong and you're right. And what you stopping me for, officer? And then the officer goes to tell you what he's stopping you for. And then you know that he's done it, he's doing his own purpose. He didn't stop me because of that. He just said that. You know, so that's a tough one right there, man. That is a tough one, brother. And I'm not going to share this. I was going to share it, but I don't think I need to share this with you. That example,
okay.
Just take 5 or 6 more minutes to get to solve it. You know, I don't want to rearrange to bring that up again, man. But I know that they would do stuff intentionally. You understand?
Oh,
and then don't have to pay. No penalty for doing it. Yeah, man. I had it done on me.
When I was a teenager in Chicago, man, before I came to Nashville, it seemed like every time I got in my car, I was getting pulled over, and they were riding 4D. We called them the dicks. They were riding 4D.
Yeah.
They snatch you, literally, Outkast, snatch you. Why you got to do all that, man? Snatch you at the car and slam you up against their car and talk them right there and fuck it to you. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't necessary.
You know, but you know, the thing
is. But what good would it have done? Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm going to wait.
No, just right quickly. I was just going to add, what good would it have done for me to try to fight them? They were low down. Now, I mean, I knew they were pretty low down then. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying all of them were, but those cats over there in Inglewood, they were. But truth be told, we were doing a lot of killing to one another over there,
exactly.
And folks were shooting and killing police too. Now let's put the oil where the tweak is. Let's talk straight.
Go ahead,
Outkast.
You know,
I'm sorry to cut you off.
You know, like I stated when I was sitting there listening to that, because it was open line on Channel 5, and I just luckily I ran across. Let me listen to the radio. They were talking about the Community Oversight Board, and you know, as stated though, Reverend Dockery. When the white guy told her that, you know, she kind of jumped, you know, like she was shocked. No, why are you shocked? You know,
right.
Now the thing is this. Now, you know, like a guy said, they're trying to tie the police hands. Okay, if they stop shooting them, running with those guns, what's going to happen next? They're going to run up in somebody's house and then have a lot of hostages, and then the blacks be sitting back talking to him. He wasn't even for his native this far. They don't care nothing about our neighborhood.
Right.
They want us to kill each other. No, but they gave you what you asked for. Now, go on
and
get your little government members. I'm sorry, really. Let me shut up.
I think what's going to come into play here, Outkast, in this particular situation, is that Supreme Court precedent. Now, I've reserved comment on it because I think we should allow the formal processes to play themselves out. But there is Supreme Court precedent on the issue. And if the officer is found to be wrong, there's a legal process for him to be dealt with. But to jump the gun, your greater point, though, is this. And whoever this fellow was that made the statement, it was true. And that is... That is, you can avoid these situations by teaching your children at home how to be in compliance and obedience. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice.
Right,
man.
You know, it's stated.
I
wasn't trying to be racist or nothing like that.
That ain't got nothing to do with it.
This is what he stated, and I didn't get offended when he made the statement that he made because it was true. But like I said, a female, she jumped, you can see that shock look on her face, you know, a look of disappointment. No, because you see what you've gotten yourself over into now. If you don't want nobody talking about the kids, children, train them.
Yeah.
Teach them.
So you know the expectation
was.
Tell
me. Yeah, look. it took a pastor. I was listening to a pastor, and it took him explaining to people how to conduct yourself when you get pulled over at night. Hands on that stern wheel. Going back to what you just stated to Reverend Wally, yes, you hold something like that. You teach them in any church. Let me be quiet. I'm talking about.
Hey, don't pull up that, baby. Don't pull up that. I mean, but you know what, Alcan? When you're in an emotional state, it's hard for you to receive what you're talking about because you're not thinking with reason.
No.
And I will say this, Alcan. One of the most important things, Pastor, we can do right now is to open our churches, and even if you don't have the level you need, work with the mental health community to provide grief counseling to these neighborhoods that have seen far too many deaths, not only by police shootings, but by incidents of black-on-black crime. It's a lot of unresolved and untreated grief in the black community. You know?
Yes.
And I think that leads to a lot of the frustration and the anguish to where it's hard for people here. I think I told y'all a week or so ago I was over at Cumberland Housing area, and the little brother came up to me. He showed me a shirt. He said, that was my brother. And I felt for him, man. And, you know, the little brother was reaching out, and he's hurting right now. But I wouldn't want him to go do something that caused him to be in the same predicament. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. Right. Hey, definitely. You know,
but this work can be done.
What about when the police officer haven't done any wrong? Don't try to charge them with doing nothing wrong if they haven't done anything wrong. You cannot hold them accountable for doing what's right. But the thing that we were talking about is like, how and what do we do to hold them accountable when they're doing wrong?
If
they're doing right, don't you charge them with doing something wrong if they're doing what's right? But what do you do when they are not? And that's the thing.
You hold them accountable.
You hold them accountable because those guys who are not doing things like that, it makes them look like they are part of the wrong thing.
Absolutely.
When they're really not.
Absolutely.
You see, so it's a touchy situation when you got police officers on there, man, that's about what's upright. And I think you may have something like that. I mean, I don't know. I don't get around.
Just last year, I think it was, I don't know if y'all remember seeing that, but there was an officer that was caught. And the police department put a fake drug sting on just to catch him. But he was stealing drug money.
They just got one recently, too.
It would be wrong to say there are no bad apples in the bunch. Get it twisted.
We've never said that.
No way.
But
all right.
Last Saturday, you know, like I said, you know, I had stated I would get my truck worked on, and guess what? I went and got my flu shot too, so you know, I couldn't be out there and all that, you know. But now, you know, I can take care of myself. But I see it like this, but you know, look, there'll be another time and another meeting. But I mean, I've enjoyed the conversation. I don't know if you'll crank this conversation up again or start it again or whatever, but. It's more that could be discussed about that.
Absolutely.
My point of view. I mean, that's your, it's your program. That's what you want.
No.
I'm sorry.
I thought about trying to do a live broadcast on locations in some places where we have this conversation with other people, because I agree with you. Some has to be done. And right now, people are too emotional to think rationally.
Right.
That's what I think.
Right.
That's what I see. And if you're going to say that you're taking a leadership role, you've got to make sure that you control, put your emotions in check first.
Right.
That you lead people down a primrose path to destruction.
Well, you, sir, you know, a lot of them have been led like this for centuries. Thousands of years, a lot of them been led like that. Blind mad man don't win nothing, you know.
My Lord.
Mad man, angry man always lose, you know. You got to keep it clear.
You take him out of the game like that, don't you, Pastor? Talk crazy to him on the basketball court. And he ain't thinking about a skill. He just mad.
Hey, man. I just let them guys push me around. I just let them push me. Just go ahead, keep pushing me, because I'm getting ready to do something on you right now. You know, y'all get tired of pushing me right now, because I'm getting ready to get this layup on you now. Hey, Outcast, it was tough on me out there playing with the big old guys, calling and me, pushing on me, jumping on me. All I needed was just that little moment right there. I shoot a layup on them, and they fouled me. Hey, Outcast, and they said, how you do that? Yeah, you done pushed me and shoved me long enough.
Don't let nobody talk you at the game, man.
Yeah, man.
Man, look at the time. We got about four and a half minutes here. Don, you there? Don, are you there? I think you may be at work. Don, can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll keep it moving. In conclusion, I think the best way to hold law enforcement accountable is to know what your rights are and know what your responsibilities are. Then you know how to determine if they're in order or if they're out of order.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying you have to be a legal expert.
People talk about rap music. I take Snoop Dogg. When you see police, drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Well.
Snoop Dogg.
That's it.
Well.
That's it,
bro. All right. Well, Outkast, give me a final thought here before we get out of here, man. We got about 3.5 minutes now. We're gonna wrap this show up here tonight.
Snoop Dogg. When it comes to police, drop it like it's hot. Okay.
I want to reiterate something Pastor Wallace said. You do not, as a citizen, have to be afraid of the police. Or no elected official, for that matter. They're citizens just like you. Just like you.
Right.
Yeah. Now, you should show appropriate respect for them, but you don't have to be afraid of them.
You don't have to be afraid. I agree.
But, yeah. With that, I yield. Yes, sir. We look forward to be back. I'm going to have to take my son back next week, but I should be back. That'll be a weekend trip. I should be back by Tuesday for the show there. Time to get him out of here, guys. It's time to go back to Cleveland now.
That's all right.
I'm over with now. But he's been working, though. He's been making honest money. I appreciate it. But he ain't gave me none, Outkast, but he's making honest money.
He's making it for himself.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Pastor, give us a final word here before we get out of here, sir.
Yeah, man, nice talk tonight. Thanks to people that was listening, and we believe that with the power of not listening, using the authority, I think that should be practiced. And I know that it's an order, because God loves to do things decently and in order. And God is no respect of person, man. And so we have to always remember that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's the one we need to fear. You know, not someone walking around in a uniform or someone in some other area in the church or pastor. We shouldn't fear nobody like that. So that's where I'm at with that, and I appreciate everyone who's listening and had something to say as well.
All right. We'll be back on next Tuesday for another episode of Talk Straight, Lord willing. I look forward to seeing you at 7 o'clock p.m. Thank you guys for everything, and we will see you next Tuesday. ¶¶